All right, fellas, it's good to be in Sunday school. Appreciate the Lord giving us the privilege of being here. You could be in jail this morning. Worse than that, you could be down at Eddyville. And worse than that, you could be in hell. I know I'm not on you. I realize that. But God's given us the privilege of being in Sunday school. Be at the house of God. There's nothing like it. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. We're going to come into church whistling Amazing Grace and singing the good praises of God, making melody in her heart. And then when we get in here, we ought to open up her mouth and let it out of the heart. Amen. And worship God in spirit and in truth. All right. I hope the Lord will help us just a little while this morning and give us something for the Sunday school hour. Psalm number 50. Psalm number 50 once again this morning. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. And we'll read the first 15 verses of this psalm together. Hope the Lord will give us something this morning that will be a blessing to us. Okay? Beginning in verse number 1, the Bible said, the mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above, and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness. For God is judge himself, Selah. And here we'll be this morning speaking to you from verse 7 through 15, so pay attention as we read through this. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. A double testimony. I am God, and it doesn't stop there. He said, I am thy God. I'm not just God, I'm your God. I'm your God by covenant, made by sacrifice. I am your God. You have enjoined yourself to me and I to you. And I am your God. I've got that authority. I've got that power because I'm God. Said, I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goat out of thy fold. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Sounds like a real God to me, fellas. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't even talk to you about it. Why should I ask you something about being hungry when I own it all? The world, the fullness thereof, it's all mine. Somebody said, well, the devil owns this world. No, that's where you're wrong. God owns her all, fellas, from the rising of the sun to the going down the same. It belongs to God. Every animal he created for his own good pleasure. He put man here to fulfill his will and for his own pleasure. It's all God's. He said in verse 13, will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And tell and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. What a tremendous passage of Scripture magnify him, the power and the authority of our God. Let's look to the Lord in prayer just for a moment, okay? Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning for the Sunday School Hour. I thank You for Thy Word that has been put before us this morning. I pray that You'll take it. God, that You'll minister to our hearts, that You'll reprove us of our sin, Lord, of our failures, that You'll reprove us, Lord, of our ceremonies and our pomp, and God, that You'll instruct us in the Word of God, that worship is from the heart and sacrifice from the soul, and God delights in those spiritual sacrifices. Bless us, I pray, meet every need, save every sinner, give grace to every heart. I do pray that You'll provide the liberty that Brother Hall needs this morning and help my thinking, help my heart. May You anoint me this morning afresh with the Spirit of God and bless me and help me to say things, Lord, that will be a blessing to the people of God. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Fellas, our text verse this morning, really two or three of them, in verse number 13, will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? And really, verse 14 is our text verse. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. I want to preach for a little while in Sunday school this morning, if God will help me, on spiritual sacrifices. Spiritual sacrifices. The psalmist or the poet's words in these verses that I've read this morning now are intended for the professed people of God. He's not writing to the heathen. He's not writing to the lost man, fellas. He's writing here to the children of God, those that profess to know Him. I can prove that from verse number 7. He said, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak." He's not talking to the heathen now. He's talking to the people of God. And it's, first of all now, it is directed to the nation of Israel. He said, "Hear, O my people, I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee." But I think that the text can be applied to God's people, fellows, of every age. I said apply. I want to say something to you this morning. That preaching, gentlemen, that is Bible preaching, does three things. And young preachers would be well advised to take heed there and apply themselves along that line. First of all, there must be interpretation. You have no right to preach a text of the Bible without interpreting that text in the Scripture in the context that it's written in. And by the way, it only has one interpretation. The Bible doesn't have a plurality of interpretation. Now, it is interpreted in various ways. I mean, like that moron this morning, that wrote that article from the Church of Christ and said people ought to rightly divide the Bible. The Bible teaches that baptism washes away our sins. That man is a fool. Water has never cleansed anything but the crud off your stinking bodies after you've worked all day. But the blood of Christ was shed for, gentlemen, the remission of our sin. Now, I don't want to get carried, but it has interpretation. And then it has illustration. All preaching ought to have some kind of an illustration and then application. And most Baptists don't mind interpretation. They don't mind illustration, but they sure don't like application. Amen? Because that's what brings her down to earth where we're living. But the text was written to the nation of Israel, but it can certainly be applied to you and I today. I know it's to them because he's talking about sacrificing bulls and goats and the Old Testament economy of the sacrifices. We don't do that anymore. Somebody said, "Why, preacher?" Because it's been fulfilled. The Lord Jesus, the darling Lamb of God, has fulfilled every bit of the sacrificial law that was given to the people of God. He was or is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. He has by one time, gentlemen, entered in behind the veil with His own blood, and there having obtained eternal redemption for the people of God. We're not going to kill a bull and offer him up today, and we're not going to slay a lamb and offer him up, or a turtle dove. And the reason not is because our sacrifice, the Lord Jesus, has already been sacrificed on Calvary. But we are to come to the house of God, brethren, and offer spiritual sacrifices which are well-pleasing in the sight of God and a sweet smell into the nostrils of God. I know that's right. I need some water. My water boys ain't here today. Amen. This can be applied to God's people in every age, gentlemen. And what David is doing here, he's declaring the futility of external worship when spiritual faith is absent and just a mere outward ceremony is rested in. I say that that is what the Catholic Church rests in, is outward ceremony. They light the candles. They take the Eucharist. I mean, they have the bread and the wine. And they light their little candles. And they go through all of their little ceremonies. And they're trusting in that. But I'm telling you, Baptists are not far behind them. We've got our own little plan and format at the church house. And basically, that's what we go through every time we come to the house of God. I mean, you can run to the first church uptown this morning, and they'll have their bulletin laid out with what song they're going to sing, who's going to lead in the prayer, who's going to play the special, everything the preacher's got to say, who's going to dismiss, and everything about the service is already laid out. And God said, you're going through a form, a ceremony, a ritual, without being led by the Holy Ghost of God. And God says, that, gentlemen, is a stench in my nostrils when men get involved in ceremony and avoid the spiritual sacrifices of Almighty God. That's right. Now I'm going to tell you what that makes a man. Makes him a Pharisee. I'm going to tell you something. Pharisees, gentlemen, goes deeper than the kind of clothes a man wears. Amen to God. That's right. Phariseeism is wrapped up in ceremony. It's wrapped up in ritual. We've got our damn pat when we come to the house of God. And that's what's going to be. And God is reproving the people here. Now look, He said, I will not reprove thee for sacrifices or burnt offerings. God said, I'm not going to reprove thee for following the Mosaic law in offering those sacrifices unto me. But He said, if that is all you've got to offer me, it's a stench in the nostrils of God. If what you're doing doesn't come from the heart, come out of the heart rather than through a service, He said, it's futile, a religious exercise that will profit you absolutely nothing before Almighty God. Ain't no wonder we're dead. Huh? He said, I want something from you from the heart, gentlemen, not from the external. Huh? Ain't that right? He said, I want something from the heart. Fellas, utterly worthless are all our offerings in God's sight unless they are spiritually and heartily given. All that you do, do heartily as unto the Lord. And if it's not done from the heart, it's futile religious exercise that will profit you absolutely nothing. What I'm getting to, the bottom line is, gentlemen, we need to learn to come to the house of God and worship God and offer spiritual sacrifices to God. Somebody said, what is that, Brother Hall? It is the offering up of thanksgiving, amen to God, and paying our vows to God. That's right. Amen. Notice in verse number 8. He said there, I will not reprove thee for sacrifices or burnt offerings that have been continually before me. Now it's clear from that verse that if the outward sacrifice had been offered, And this also would have been a ground for complaint. If that's all God did, it would yet, and all the people did, it would yet been room for God to complain, and that's what He's doing. He said, I'm not reproving you for that, but I am complaining because that's all you have. You come to church, you sing a song, you go to Sunday school, the preacher teaches class, you come back out, you sing Amazing Grace, you go to the choir, you take up the offering, you shake hands, the preacher preaches, you go out the door, and that's all there is to it. Somebody said, Brother Hall, that is all there is to it. Hogwash, gentlemen. God said when we come that we ought to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. Now, God, you call for a testimony meeting in most Baptist churches and can't get most people to even thank God they're saved. Huh? That's right, ain't it? I know that's right. When they are offered as a substitute, when this outward ceremony, gentlemen, is offered as a substitute for the loving reverence of the heart and loyal obedience of our life, it is absolutely futile. That's what God wants from us, is loving reverence of the heart and loyal obedience in life. I'm telling you, I was just reminded again night before last, as Brother Wayne and I lay in that motel room, about the life of disobedience and the consequences from it. When I read about that prophet out of Judah in 1 Kings 13, it was instructed to cry aloud against the altar of Jeroboam, and he followed God's instructions to the limit. But God said, when you leave that place, said, I don't want you to eat bread there, don't want you to drink water there, and don't come back by the same way that you went. I'm telling you, he listened to a lying old prophet of Israel, went back to his house, ate bread, drank water, and he wound up, my friend, laying alongside the road, had been torn by a lion, and the lion that tore him was standing beside the ass that he was riding on, and he was dead, but the lion and the ass lived on. I'm going to tell you what will happen, friend, in a life of disobedience. You may wind up dead, but the ass and the lion will live on. That roaring lion, the devil, and that ass of rebellion will live on. God said, I'm not interested in your outward ceremony. What I want is your heart given to God. God looks on the heart, brethren. God wants our heart today. Oh, that's right. When all we have is that ceremony, he rejects them as an abomination. But when they are expressions of the soul's prayerful penitence, of thankful praise, he accepts them with delight. That's what God wants, fellas, is a thankful heart in praise and adoration to him for what he's done. My God, how can we not be thankful? And how can we prevent our hearts from offering praise to God? Gentlemen, when I look at where I could have been and where I am today, hallelujah to God, I'm telling you, there ain't nothing like it. I was standing over yesterday at that knife show, and as a feller had been over, I'd talked to him two or three times, and he walked on a cane, and just an older, just barely could hobbled around, you know, and I went over where he was at yesterday, and I said, well, we're going to be leaving you in a little while. And he said, y'all won't be here tomorrow. I said, no. I said, I'd like to be, but I said, hey, I got saved back in 1970, and God's called me to preach, and I'll be at the house of God preaching the Word of God in the morning. Hey, that old man broke down and went to crying. He said, may God, that's right. He said, may God have mercy on me. He said, preacher, I'm in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Said, I wouldn't miss a day at the house of God. He went to crying, but he said, I've got to be honest. He said, four times a year, he said, I backslide and come to these old knife shows and lay out on Sunday. And he said, may God have mercy on me. But he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, see how I'm walking? He said, 14 years ago, he said, I had a stroke, and the doctor came out of the emergency room, told my wife, said, there's no hope. Your husband's going out to meet God, ready or not. And he went to crying. He said, hey, God must not have been done with me. That's 14 years
years ago and said, I'm still here, a servant and a praising God. An old man with the crying tears down his face. He said, I just want to thank God for being merciful unto me and saving my soul from a devil's hell and let me live that I might praise Him. That's right. Thank God I want to praise Him. Woo-wee! Hallelujah to God. Amen. I want to praise Him. I'm telling you, I don't understand everything about it. Two fellas come walking by that now table yesterday, and God was looking, and I recognized him. And he didn't know me. He didn't recognize me. He had looked at them now, and I said, hey! I said, I charge for looking at mine eyes. He looked up at me like that and looked me over. He said, I ought to know you. I said, buddy, stop. You going to tell me you don't know me? Old big old fellow with a big old mustache on his face. He said, you're Gary Hall. I said that. He looked over and said, this is my brother-in-law. He said, this is Gary Hall. He said, up in Underwood. He said, we went to school with him back up yonder in Underwood. But what are you saying, preacher? Hey, that's Bo Bill Stock's brother. I don't understand why, but there's Buddy that's got all the money in the bank that he'll ever need, but he's a dying and a going to hell. And there's his old brother Bill. My friend, they ain't got a pot to pee in, no window to throw it out of, but he's got God living down in his heart, and he's saved by the grace of God. I'm telling you, my friend, this morning, if you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and your hope set in God, you ought to be thankful. And if you're thankful, you ought to offer it to God. That's right, ain't it? Woo! God said, I ain't interested in your little outward show. Huh? He said, I want some of your heart. Seen fellas run around with big old crosses around their neck hanging to their knees. But everybody know how spiritual they are. No, hey, they look real good on the outside, but their heart's as wicked as the devil himself. They wouldn't know God from Adam's house cat. Oh, they can look good on the outside, but they ain't got a stinking thing on the inside. Amen. That's right. It's like that Pharisaical crowd. And a whole lot of them's that Pentecostal crowd. And I love them. I'm not, hey, and I don't mean to sound critical about them, but I'm telling you, friend, they'll prop up the outside and let that hair grow and them dresses. And our ladies do that. Thanks be unto God. Amen. But they'll prop up the outside, my friend, and then get so far off base that they tell you gotta speak in tongues in order to be saved and get down and wallow on the floor. You gotta do this and be baptized in Jesus' name and all that. I'm telling you, and the problem is, my friend, they're in a state of emotions and they're living in the realm of the flesh and they're offering to God their lips, but they haven't given God their heart. I'm telling you, when God's got your heart, gentlemen, it will prompt you into action in the service of God. Woo! I'm feeling good today. Hallelujah. That's right. Now notice, there's three primary spiritual sacrifices that we ought to offer to God. Now, I won't be long. I want to preach this morning. Amen. Look in verse 14. He said, offer unto God thanksgiving. Huh? Offer unto God thanksgiving. Now, if I know anything about that, that's talking about praising God. Offer. Praise God. It was a thankful heart. Give Him praise. Praise Him. I remember old Gene Mathias. I seen him preaching one time. He got up and he got loose and got to carrying on. He started hollering, I just want to praise Him. He just ran all over the platform hollering, I just want to praise Him. Now, hey, somebody said, why? I'm going to tell you why. God took a preacher all the way from Kentucky and set him down in Michigan. in a little old brick building, and then took a old country boy, a motorcycle nut, a beard wearer, down to his stinking knees, a hippie, a pot sucker, a drunkard, running to these stinking concerts, rock and roll concerts, and took him all the way to Michigan likewise, and put him in a house right beside the church where he could hear the gospel and get saved. My God, you ought to thank God. Brother Mark, you could have been off of that bridge. Brother Jerry could have been buried alive. No, he could have been buried dead 365 feet down. But God resurrected him 365 feet up. You could still have been hooked on Wildcats. You could still have been listening to Black Oak, Arkansas. Huh? Y'all could still been beating your wives, drinking liquor and smoking dope. You've still been carousing and whoremongering. But God was so good to you that He brought you out. Hallelujah to God. And if He brought you out, don't offer to Him a sacrifice. A praise His wonderful name. I think some of you all just cut a chobe this morning. Hey God, it's a long since some of you did. Yeah. Notice what Paul said in Hebrews, and I've read this verse to you until I've just about wore it out to you. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name. That's the sacrifice He wants. He doesn't want you to light a candle. He doesn't want your outward formality. God don't want your bulls and your fowls. God doesn't want, my friend, your goats. They belong to Him. If He was hungry, He wouldn't ask you. What does He want with the blood of a bull and the blood of a goat? God wants you. No, that's right. Praise, gentlemen, reveals a thankful heart. I said when we offer the sacrifice of praise, it reveals a thankful heart. I'll never forget old brother John Skelton down in Greenville. Son, I've seen Hobart Stevens get up and start saying, I just heard from heaven and it's all right now. And old brother John Skelton had a little old burr haircut about as short as these fellas used to keep theirs. And he'd take out that white handkerchief and lay it up on top of his head and let it hang down. He'd just start walking around all over the church and rubbing his head with that white handkerchief. Oh, somebody said, why did he cover his head? I'm going to tell you why. Because he said he wasn't worthy to look up in the face of God. But oh, he'd wipe that old bald head of his and tears would run down his face and walk. And if you've ever been to Tabernacle, it's a long two hallways up and down it. I've seen him walk from one end to the other of both of them, wiping that old bald head on that hanky and tears running off his chin and just a thanking God for mercy and grace and truth and blessing and joy and hope and heaven and home someday. Hallelujah to God. That's right. Praise reveals, gentlemen, a thankful heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. Somebody said, how can I thank Him for this or that? I'm going to tell you how. You can thank Him in all things, brethren. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to God's purpose. So in all things, give thanks, because He's working both ends to the middle to put it all together in your life. In both ends. Thank God in all things. Give thanks unto God.
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Not the heathen. You, hear my people, oh Israel. How long has it been since you just thanked Him? I want to thank Him for what He's done. Before I can shout hallelujah, I want to thank Him for what He's done. Some of y'all, your marriages would be gone. Somebody said, well, you know, these other women. I know there's other women, but I'm going to tell you something. Gang, alimony ain't cheap. I know men that's paying $150, $200 a week, gentlemen, in alimony because sin uprooted their life and divided their home, and now they're paying through the stinking nose because of sin.
Amen.
What a life. Good Lord, what a life. My God, thank God, gentlemen. Amen. How wonderful. In all things, give God. Hey, when we give thanks, giving of thanks acknowledges God as the fountainhead of all good. God is so good, gentlemen.
Yes.
When we thank Him, we're acknowledging the fact that God is the fountainhead of all good. What Brother James said, for every, E-B-E-R-Y, every G-O-O-D, G-I-F-T, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness and neither shadow of turning. I'm telling you, when we get out of thinking, we just acknowledging the fact that God is the fountainhead of all good in our life. Hallelujah. I get sick of hearing people say, I've done this and I've done that. You ain't done jack squat. You ain't done diddling nothing. God's been good to you, buddy. You ought to thank Him for it. You fellas that's got a good, stable job, you ought to thank God for it. If you got a job that's not unstable, you ought to thank God for it. If you're putting food on the table with it, you ought to thank God for it. Huh? Amen to God. That's right. If you're here this morning breathing, and you ain't a walking on a cane, you're not a dragging an air, a tank behind you, you got a house to go home to when you leave and about the food to put on the table, and I don't know anybody in here that's walking today. Oh, to thank God for it, brethren. Amen. When we thank God, it reveals a fear which receives all benefits from God as a child from the Father. Now, I did not say we're scared to death of God, but a reverential fear. In the Old Testament, fear means trust. And when we're thanking God, gentlemen, we're showing a fear in our heart or a reverential trust in our heart that is thankful to God as a child is thankful to their father for what their father does for them. And I'm going to tell you something right there. If your child is ungrateful and unthankful, you better bust their butt and teach them otherwise. I'm sick of seeing a bunch of little spoiled brats like that idiot that's on television. I ain't never seen it. Somebody told me about Bart Simpson, whatever the little spike-haired moron's name is. Did he sit down and eat one day and said, I ain't a-thanking God for nothing. I work for everything I got. Poor little benighted devil ain't never worked for nothing. 4- and 5-year-old kid said, I wouldn't thank God for nothing. Hey! Yeah, if they're not thankful to you men because you worked your butts off in a slave house and sweat tears, that's got to put food on their table, bust their little behinds and teach them to be thankful.
Yeah.
Ain't no wonder that adults are not thankful for what God does for them when the children are unthankful for what the parents has done for them.
Yeah.
Amen. Thanksgiving acknowledges a humility. Confessing that we have nothing of ourselves, but have obtained everything from God.
Amen.
God said, gentlemen, said, every beast of the field is mine. He said, I'm not going to take a bullock out of your house. I'm not about to take a he-goat out of the fold. He said, why should I? He said, every beast of the field is mine. The cattle upon 1,000 hills. The fowls of the mountains are mine. And all the wild beasts and all the tame beasts. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you about it. Huh? Look here, gentlemen. We have obtained everything we have from God.
Amen.
Somebody said, that's pretty simple preaching. Yeah, but it's some things we need to recognize and realize.
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, preacher, how did everything come from God? I'm going to tell you something, friend. Naked came your little backside into the world, and naked it's going out of the world.
Amen.
Everything you receive in this world come directly from the hand of God, even the clothes you got on your back.
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, brother, I'll have the clothes. God allowed the ground to grow the material, the flax and the cotton to make your cotton clothes out of. And he let the sheep grow to make your wool garments out of. Amen. And the synthetic clothes, whether they make them, he made that too. He made it every bit of it God made. The metal, the plastic, fiberglass that's in your automobile, God gave it to you. You've got nothing of your own, gentlemen. I'm telling you, when we start thanking God, we're acknowledging the fact that we have nothing and God owns it all.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something else. While we're living in poverty today, spiritual poverty, we've never recognized that. That the hand of God feeds us, brethren, sustains us, takes us. I don't know how God does it. He sent 2 million Jews out into a wilderness. And they cried and said, we're going to die of thirst. And God said, how stupid. He said, all I got to do is just take this little old rock, make this stone or staff, let Moses smite the rock, and said, water will come out like floods, like streams in the desert. They said, oh, we're hungry. He said, no problem. We'll just bring in the quails out of the east and let them fly over. We'll take care of you that way. And we'll feed you with quail meat in the evenings. And fellas, can you imagine the number of quails that they had to be that just in a short while they had quail running out their stupid noses? He said, now if that ain't enough, he said, I'll give you a little round white thing called manna. He said, you can gather just enough of it. Somebody said, oh, I want more. No, God will give us just enough of it every day. Just enough of it every day. And if we get two more, it'll stink. And I'm not so sure that we're not got so well off in America that we're stinking. Thank God. We've got nothing. God has given to us. Look here. You ever get this? Listen, God told Israel to offer those bullocks and goats. He set aside all that order. And look here. I'm sure when he did, they said, well, how are we going to maintain all that? Look here. God gives you that you might offer that to God. Got anyone asking you? The spiritual sacrifices that you're going to have to offer to God, you're going to have to find yourself a prayer closet and ask God to give them to you that you might give them back. Oh, that, preacher, not me. That's why you'll never learn to worship God. That's why you'll never learn to praise God, because you don't have it in you to do it unless God puts it in you, and it belongs to God, and if God will put it in you, go on and give it back. You don't have it of your own. I've heard men say, I just can't do that. I know you can't. I can't praise God. I know you can't. Not unless God gives it to you. Then if God will give it to you, give it back. Somebody said, well, if he gives it back, I'll be broke. Poor benighted moron. Do you really think you can outgive God? Give it to God, gentlemen. We give it to you. Give it back. You give it back. You give it back.
Give it back.
His well's not going to run dry. That stream that's flowing out of that rock in the book of Exodus is still running today.
Amen.
There's still a few quail in heaven.
Amen.
Huh? Can God spread a table in the wilderness, gentlemen? God can.
Amen.
Oh, look here. I think this thing's getting ready to break. That thing over in Kosovo may be getting ready to put the breaker on it. It may start sending some people to the house of God. They start talking about World War III. People can get religious right fast. Like sending a guy to prison. You put a guy in prison, he'll get religious overnight, man. You start talking about World War III, folks get real religious. start calling on God. They don't believe in God now. They don't want to know God now. But when they realize their boys may go to war, they want God. It may flood the church houses. Maybe the thing to bring the tidal wave of revival. Brother Hall's been a praying for. Hallelujah to God. Amen. This is why he reminds them that the beast and the cattle and verse number 10 belong to him. The fowls of verse number 14 is his. And he's taken nothing out of their house. God has taken nothing from you, fellas.
Amen.
I don't know anybody that's truly saved that's worse off than they was before they got saved.
Amen.
Look here. God, and I hope y'all won't, I hope Brother Mark won't get offended at this. But old Brother Mark about to jump off that bridge over yonder in Germany, and God spared him and saved him and brought him home, and his wife was rebellious. But yet on that Sunday night, Miss Kim knelt in her mama's bedroom up there and got saved by the grace of God. And I say old Brother Mark was a humble man, didn't have much money, rode in here in them old trucks and trying to put old trucks together and this and that. And he determined in his heart that he's going to give God the glory and serve God. And he stood up and started thanking God for thanking God for putting his home back together and putting his life back together for him. Just started thanking God for it. Started thanking God. And he wanted another job. He was tired of working on that job and killing himself and working every day of the week and Sundays and everything else and couldn't come to church. And he said, by faith, I'm quitting that job. I'll find something. I can serve God. Amen to God. And go to the house of God. You know what his wife told my wife last week? Said, pray. Said, we've been praying that the place he worked, said the next job that he might get would be one of them scale jobs. Talking about a scale job. For the scale, you get paid the scale and not what the employer wants to pay you, but the government regulates it and you get a scale. Said, guess what? Said, Mark's next job, the scale job. Hallelujah to God. There he is up there getting ready to build a house because God has blessed him. And I'm going to tell you why God blessed him. Because he's not afraid to stand up, gentlemen, and offer God the fruit of his lips, the praise and the thanksgiving that is due the blessed name of the Son of God. That right or not, Brother Mark? That's right, ain't it? Hallelujah to God. Didn't have much, but God's a blessing now. Now look here. Praise not only reveals a thankful heart, but it reveals a trusting heart. Psalm 22:23 said, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. That fear there is trust. Same thing as trust. Praise him, all ye seed of Jacob. Glorify him and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel.
Amen.
Fellas, do we really trust him?
Amen.
My lambs. If we're praising him, we're going to trust him.
Amen.
And I'll tell you something else. Praise reveals a truthful heart. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's right. Worship him in spirit and in truth. And that spirit there means instability, certainty, and faithfulness. Now, I'm going to tell you the reason most men don't worship God and praise God. There's no certainty in their life. Why, some of you in here wonder whether you're saved, don't know whether you're saved, doubt you're saved. I'm going to tell you something right now. Bless your heart. You're looking at a preacher that is heaven bound, thank God, with a hammer down. I'm wide open toward the glory world, and I'm not a looking back. Somebody said, are you sure of that? I'm just as sure of that, my friend, is where I'm standing today. In fact, heaven is more certain to me than what tomorrow is on this earth. For if the earth would melt with a fervent heat and the world pass away, I know that God's word will abide forever.
Amen.
That's right. Thank God. Amen. Praise reveals a truthful heart. And so we're to praise him. That's one spiritual sacrifice. And notice the second one here. He said, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. I wonder where we stand right there, gentlemen. God, I'm going to do this. God, I'll do that. If you'll do this, I'll do that. Have we done it? God, if you'll do this, so-and-so, now I'll do so-and-so. Have you done it? You know what the Ecclesiastes writer said?
when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay it. Look here, can I give you this illustration? Hey. Old Jacob. Jacob left his father's house, went down to dwell in the house of his father's people. And when he left and headed down there, listen what he said when he got to God at Bethel. And by the way, fellas, Bethel is the house of God. Here's what Jacob said when he got to the house of God. You know, when he saw the ladder and the angels of God ascending and descending on the ladder, here's what he said. He said, "And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I go, I will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God." And look here. When he headed back, and I don't know whether he remembered all about the vow or not, but I know God remembered the vow, gentlemen. For when he got right back to Bethel, back to the same place, Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am but two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother." See if I can get the verse. I've missed a verse here. Y'all just bear with me just a minute. 28:21 and 31:13. Oh yeah, I ain't got to it. And he lodged there the same night, and he took that. No, it ain't 31:13. I'm in the wrong chapter. 31:13. Just bear with me. I'm in the wrong chapter here. And verse number 13, he said, "I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me." See, when he went to Bethel and made that vow and headed back and got back to Bethel, God reminded him of the vow that he had made. He said, "Now you made the vow, big boy, keep it." I'm going to tell you something, fellas. Hey, that is a spiritual sacrifice to God. Making promises to God and standing on that promise. You know, there's a fellow in the book of Judges by the name of Jephthah. They called on him to deliver the land. And Jephthah said, "Lord, I'll vow a vow." Said, "If you're really with me and you're going to deliver the Ammonites into my hand," he said, if you will do it, "when I come again," he said, "the first thing that comes out of my house to meet me, I'll offer as a sacrifice." You know what? He went into battle and God delivered him. Gentlemen, you know what the first thing was come out of his house? His only daughter. But he deferred not to pay the vow unto God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, God's people all over the country promised God this and promised God the moon. You know what they remind me of? Democrats and Republicans. They promise people everything, can't give them nothing. That's right. They make big promises. If you elect me, I'll do this. They haven't done dee-diddle squat.
Amen.
That's right. Pay your vows. And I'll tell you one more spiritual sacrifice and we're closing. Prayer.
Amen.
Prayers of worship, gentlemen.
Amen.
I wonder if we're really praying, really paying our vows, and really praising God. God said, "If all you've got to offer me is your bulls and goats, keep it. I don't want your bull."
Amen.
I heard Brother Farrell Shepherd preaching Larry Range camp meeting one year on when God said, "I don't want your bulls and sacrifices." He preached on, "God don't want none of your bull."
Amen.
Many don't, fellas. God wants spiritual sacrifices from the heart.